great.
But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
So let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just.
Yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just
rammed it. Everybody,
amazing. I'm not gonna remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you
guys? Whose house?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined as always by my brother and the other great host of this show, Nick. And Nick, we're 4 days until the NFL draft. But first and most importantly, how are you, my good brother?
4 days until I'm kicking back at Hermosa Beach with a Colin Cowherd Pilsner watching the draft. I'm good, Dean. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm pretty jealous that you're going to be at the Hermosa Beach draft party. It sounds like a ton of fun. Probably a lot of great Rams fans are going to be there tailgating and all that good stuff. So I'm kind of jealous, actually. I've been doing all this prep work over in New Jersey where I reside. And I'm not able to go to Hermosa Beach with my brother and enjoy the draft party, so I'm a little envious.
That's all right. Don't come out for a couple games this year.
Yeah, definitely. With my newborn son, I'm sure that will be happening soon. Breaking news. Another Rams fan will be entering the world in hopefully 6 or 7 weeks or so. So.
Breaking news. Dean is pregnant. But while I have you here with that great hook, I want to remind everybody to like and subscribe right now. It means a lot. All the interactions, commenting down below, just sharing, whatever you can do to help support. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, greatly appreciate any likes, subscribes, comments. We need it. We want to keep this train rolling. So where did we we had a conversation yesterday. We saw the news breaking per BetMGM. And I don't know if they're the most trusted source in terms of betting. I mean, there's DraftKings, there's FanDuel, but the offensive line is currently the favorite to be drafted for the Rams. So right now we're looking at offensive lineman plus 115. There's Talifuaga per BetMGM. Defensive line and edge is plus 150. So there's Liatu Latu. I mean, you could talk about Byron Murphy. You could talk about Johnny Newton. And then there's also wide receivers plus 800. So like as of recent, and again, I don't know if this is the most trusted source and it may change a couple of times, but this BetMGM account is claiming that the Rams could potentially take an offensive lineman. We saw Peter Schrager mock Tyler Guyton from, I'm trying to think where he's from Oklahoma as of recent. And I'm thinking to myself, these might be the top three guys that the Rams are looking after. They met with Talifuaga, they met with Troy Faltano, and then Tyler Guyton's the guy that Peter Schrager has been mocking to the Rams. So Nick, I wanted to get your opinion on if offensive line is acceptable for Rams fans, because we know we've been talking about receiver. Alaric Jackson is tendered this season, so you would think that he would go potentially test the open market for next season, but was really, really great in the back half of last year. So if we don't go receiver or we don't go defensive line or edge, are Rams fans going to be upset over the offensive line?
I would love to place plus 800 odds of them drafting a receiver first. I think that is incredible plus money. But I mean, with the situation that we have right now, if you bring in somebody like Fuaga, it started 25 of 25 games over the 2022-23 season at right tackle.
Yeah.
People mover, very balanced, tons of quickness, great with the run game. Especially when you watch the Stafford documentary and he's like, oh, Kelly says it before him that we need at least one more, right? The way to do that is to keep him upright. So, I mean, I think Rams fans would be ecstatic, me included, if they do go up and they get a lineman to start us off, because then it's solidifying that Matthew Stafford is our guy and not Bo Nix, maybe.
Yeah, right. I think Lockton was pretty telling. I don't think that it sold anything over the fact that the Rams are definitely going to draft the offensive line. But you saw how passionate Matthew Stafford was. I think it was in that limo ride on the way back from one of the later games in the season where he's like, those guys are rolling. They're killing people up front. And you know, that's obviously stuff that we love. Talifuaga is a guy that we really loved. He's a guy that we know, just Nick, you just mentioned 25 games started at right tackle. But he can come in and compete at left tackle or eventually take Rob Havenstein's job, the longest tenured Ram, everybody drink because I said it again. He also has three older brothers. So there's kind of the Puka Nacua effect. This is the youngest brother. He's a mauler in the run game. He's in the people moving business, as the Rams like to say. And he's super balanced in pass pro. The other guy, and the Rams met with him. The other guy, Troy Faltano, is the number one guard prospect, but he started all 15 games at left tackle last year. So the year prior, he had one start at left guard, 12 at left tackle. And I think his size is why people are projecting him inside. He's 6'3", 317. But his versatility at left tackle and left guard is likely why the Rams are so damn interested in him. And then there's Tyler Guyton. I think in terms of the biggest project amongst the three guys, I think this would be him. In 2021 at TCU, before he transferred over to Oklahoma, he started a game at tight end and caught a touchdown pass in his first start. And then Oklahoma, they moved him to offensive line, where he then transferred. And he started four games at right tackle and then one at left tackle, dealt with an injury. And then 2023, started nine games at right tackle, missed two games late in the season, and then opted out in their bowl game. So I think Tyler Guyton is much more of a project amongst those three players. But you can tell the way that the Rams draft offensive line. They love versatility. They love guys who have made starts in multiple positions. You look at Steve Avila, left guard. Now he's going to go start at center. So, like, you know, you're kind of looking at a multitude of guys. Tali Fuaga could start on the right side. Troy Faltano could start on the left side. So, like, you're trying to get a little bit of versatility amongst the grouping. And I think that nobody would be upset if the Rams drafted the future left tackle.
Yeah, no, not at all. Especially, like, that would be, like, a really good start to, you know, what they're thinking of. Hopefully they would go into defense after that. But still, I just want to preface this too. Like, when teams like go meet with somebody, it's like probably the lead, like, it's good because it keeps the NFL news moving. But at least for the Rams, what did you say right before this episode started? Yeah, these are the only two players they met with last year that they actually ended up drafting. So it's not, it's not a huge indication of who they're actually going to get.
Yeah, Kobe Turner and DeJuan Johnson are the two guys that they met with last year. But I think the good process of meeting, whether it's the Shrine Bowl, it's Pro Days, it's the Combine, which the Rams usually don't attend, but virtually they can attend. You could weed out some guys that you don't like. You could have a meeting with somebody and determine, I don't really like this player. I don't like his mental makeup. You know, if he has a good college tape, that's one thing. But then to be able to kind of pair that all together, you look at the way Cooper Kupp goes into the quarterback room at 6 a.m., claims the room and runs the show. Like, those are the kind of players that you want in your organization. So I think that's what the Rams are definitely looking for, especially in a future left tackle. And then guys like Joe Alt, he's likely going to be taken seventh overall by Tennessee. I think that's almost a lock. And then Olu Fashanu from Penn State could be probably next off the board. But another guy to look for in offensive line is probably Amarius Mims from Georgia. I want you guys to keep an eye on him because he could fall as well and could be a trade back contender for the Rams. So then next, defensive line and edge. So interior defensive line and edge are the next favorite position. So interior defensive line, it seems like Byron Murphy II is a lock to go in the first round. Per almost every major sports book, his draft positioning is over under 15.5, which suggests he's going to be off the board when the Rams pick at 19 overall. But obviously a great player, would be a quote unquote one-to-one Aaron Donald replacement, if you want to call it that. And then Johnny Newton's the other guy. He's more of a question mark. I think he can go probably late in the first, which would suggest that the Rams could potentially trade back for him. So two guys definitely to keep an eye on if they don't go offensive line. And then edge, Liatu Latu. Everybody's talking about him. He's actually favored to go eighth overall to the Atlanta Falcons. It looks like his medicals are totally, that high, eighth overall. It could be maybe the second or first defensive player drafted, maybe even over Dallas Turner. But then you also look at his draft positioning. It's over under 17.5. So if he doesn't go eight, he's likely going to fall a little bit. So, and then there's Dallas Turner. Like, if they go Liatu Latu, eighth overall, Dallas Turner is not necessarily out of the question. If you're going to trade up a couple of spots to get him, that could be a guy that you target. And then also Chop Robinson, who we all love. Like, I really, really love Chop Robinson. And volcanic first step is how we described him. He's extremely explosive. Measurables, RAS scores, very, very similar to what we saw with Aaron Donald. Obviously not the same, just a comparison in terms of RAS scores. But he's a guy that is projected to go a little bit later in round one and could be an option if we do trade back. And I think we all forgot about Jared Verse. His projection is over under 15.5, so you'd likely have to move up a couple of spots to get him too. And then what's really interesting about the receiver position, which I'm just entirely intrigued by it, don't be scared by the graphic. This is, I think, as you're kind of working through these things, everybody likes to make player comparisons, right? Who's Romo Odunze going to play like? Who's Marvin Harrison Jr. going to play like? I remember back in the 2011 draft, and Les Snead was a part of the Atlanta Falcons, and they traded away a ton of assets, 5 total picks, to move up to number 6 overall with Pro Bowler Roddy White already on the roster. So everyone's at receiver is not a need. An X receiver, a dynamic X receiver that can transcend the offense is always a need, especially when you have Tutu Atwell and DeMarcus Robinson on the last year of your deals. And you saw what happened with Van Jefferson and Cam Akers in the final years of their rookie contract. They could determine that they want to move away from that. That this was the Julio Jones draft pick was the highest Atlanta had ever drafted a receiver. And it was right after the Bengals drafted AJ Green with their fourth overall pick. So that's who Marvin Harrison Jr. He reminds me of Julio Jones, and Romo Odunze reminds me a ton of AJ Green. And I think both of these players are going to be incredible. But I think the one little variable that's kind of tucked in the middle of it is Malik Nabers and how he could potentially get drafted by the Chargers. I want to say 5th or 6th overall. Whenever the Chargers have the draft pick, I think it's 5th. He's the favorite to either go 5th or 6th overall. And then there's other guys like Brian Thomas Jr., who a lot of people are projecting to go 19th overall. But, I mean, we're all in on Romo Odunze. You could throw $200 or $100 on Romo Odunze and win yourself $800, $900. Put it in your back pocket, allocate $150 towards your Romo Odunze jersey, Romo Odunze jersey, and have yourself a great time at SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, to me, if they are going to make like a big splashy trade up, it makes the most sense for them to take Romo Odunze and just kind of go into the year with, all right, like we now have this dynamic receiver room that could be the best in the league. We love everything that we have, and then build like backwards from there. And then it is also funny for the listeners when Dean was like, the people that are not watching on YouTube, that are just listening, that he was like, you know, don't get scared of this graphic because it said 2011 flashback, and Rams fans remember that 2011, much like a lot of those years, was not a good year for us.
yeah, terrible. I want to say that was like Sam Bradford probably tore his ACL in the preseason that year. I think that was maybe the second time that he tore his ACL going back to 2011.
MVP Nick Foles comes in.
Yeah, and I think we had AJ Feely that year too, which was terrifying. And then a couple of years later, what did the Rams do? They moved up to draft Tavon Austin with the 8th overall pick.
Dean actually got himself on ESPN from a Vine that he made. It was Rams select Tavon Austin, and Dean's in college, and he bursts through his college dorm room and goes,
Do you know how badly it is? I'm trying to find that Vine so that I could post it on my account and say this will be the same reaction that I have if we trade up to number 9 to draft Romo Odunze, because
that's a bad time, though.
It's completely different receivers. Tavon Austin was 5'8", 195 pounds, soaking wet. You know, was a scat back slot receiver. I think as of recent, he was with the Buffalo Bills.
Right,
a couple of years ago, I don't think
return a league. Punt or something or catch a punt. I don't know.
If I were him, I'd go to the UFL and try to return as many punts as I possibly could. I think that would be fun. So I think the trade situation, if you're looking to trade up from number 19 to number 9 overall, it's the Chicago Bears. They would have it would be their second first round pick. So pick number 9, and this is the way that all teams assess trade value, and usually the team that has to trade up has to give a little bit more. So I tried to lay this out as best as I could. Pick number 9 is worth 1,350 points. Pick number 19 is worth 875 points. So if you traded pick number 19, pick number 83, which is a round 3 pick, that's worth 175 points. You throw in the 2025 third round comp pick, which is from Raheem Morris, which you're getting next year, you're getting pretty close. You're like at 1,225 points total, and you still have that number 99 pick available in round 3. So it's not like you're totally getting out of round 3. And then you have those 2 picks in round 5. I think some later picks too on day 3 in round 6 and 7. So you could also throw in Tutu Atwell if you're trying to get over that 1,225 point total. You know, that could be 100 points there basically in terms of value. And we know that the Bears are looking to draft more receivers. If they were looking at Romo Odunze, here's a 4 or 3 year starter in Tutu Atwell who plays the X position and could be, you know, somebody that Caleb Williams likes a lot because he has that big arm, likes to scramble around. And Tutu Atwell has that kind of experience within the Rams' organization. So I kind of like that idea. And then perhaps, you know, another late day three pick to sweeten the deal if you have to. But I think that the way that the trade can be broken out, you're not going to give up all that many assets. You could give up your 19th overall third round pick, a third round pick next year, which you got for free because Raheem Morris is coaching the Atlanta Falcons. A couple of later picks, Tutu Atwell, have fun in Chicago, and you got yourself Romo Dunze, or you got yourself the left tackle of the future.
You're setting up Tutu for success because Caleb Williams is probably going to be great. I'm really curious to how the Bears are going to use that second first round pick of theirs. If they think that they are in a position right now where they can win with Caleb Williams, like off the bat, I think he's being drafted into one of the best case scenarios for a number one first overall pick because it's not going to Carolina. Like it is actually going to the Bears, who were not the worst team in the league last year. But at the same time, they could get him and then could be, you know, sitting pretty and be accepting these offers for that pick. So I think out of the candidates of people that we could trade up with, they do feel like one of the most likely.
Yeah, I think they would be reliable too. And you look at what the Houston Texans did last year. My only worry is you got Stroud. And then right after the fact, you got Will Anderson Jr. And that's the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year. So like, yeah. We could argue all day about how Kobe Turner should have been the rookie defensive player of the year. And same with Puka Nacua, because at record-breaking seasons, Kobe Turner tied Aaron Donald in terms of his rookie sack total. I mean, come on. But that's kind of where like the thought process
working is. Next to Aaron Donald absolutely helped that out.
True. 100%.
Yeah, and just the way that the league just gushes over quarterbacks, that award was never going to go to Puka unless all of those guys stunk this year. And CJ Stroud had a fantastic year. So unfortunately, unless it's a Super Bowl MVP, it's like, most whatever, it's like, it's almost always given to a quarterback if possible.
And that's really my only concern. It's like if Chicago is really trying to build up this organization, they're not going to go get another pass rusher because they brought in Montez Sweat and then I think another player at the deadline last year. But I mean, like receiver, Romo Dunze would make so much sense. I mean, and so would, a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. But like that draft positioning, number nine, is right where Romo Dunze is supposed to fall. So it would make a ton of sense for Chicago just to sit and pick Romo Dunze. But I'm giving him a call. Right. Like a GM who's made a lot of bad decisions. You know, we're throwing in an extra day three pick. Here's Tutu Atwell and some other picks and go. Let's go handle business.
My gut tells me that they're going to stay. And this is the Bears fans in my life that are like, no, like because I'll bring up Romo Dunze and they're like, no. That's going to be Caleb's number one target. And I'm like, all right, well, let's see. I mean, yeah.
Totally, totally fair to think that way. And I kind of respect Bears fans for trying to think that way because they're starved of offense. They haven't had a good quarterback since, Jim McMahon back in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, they've really had – Jay Cutler was talented, but I think took them to an AFC championship and then got hurt. So, like, they're just – Rex Grossman took them to a Super Bowl, but God damn, was he bad. He was so
bad. Like, Chicago – playoff win out of like all of their sports, I feel like has been a long time.
I don't know. Maybe the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, but they need something bad. So I don't blame them for sitting and picking, but
I mean, they won that one game against the Bucks to avoid the sweep 3 years ago, but I don't know if that really counts.
Yeah. So, and then what I think is really interesting, like we've talked about players that the Rams have met on Twitter and this is all reportedly from different sources, scattered sources. But I think there is a lot of guys that they could be eyeing on days two and three amongst this list, outside of the guys that we've already talked about. So Ricky Parasol, wide receiver from Florida, running back Jace McClellan, wouldn't take him before day three, but a guy that they met with from Alabama. Noah Togai from Oregon State, tight end. Jacob Breland, the tight end from Oregon. Carson Barnhart, later draft pick, late in day three, but he's an interior offensive lineman from Michigan that they met with. Avery Jones, a center from Auburn. Christian Mahogany, interior offensive lineman from Boston College. And I think that was during the time of the Shrine Bowl, before they decided to bolster up the inside of the offensive line, before Steve Avila moved to center, before they determined that they were going to bring in Jonah Jackson and re-sign Kevin Dotson. Tanner Bordellini, the Paisan, the center from Wisconsin, they met with a while ago. A player that I really like, some people project him to be the next Jason Kelce. And then Brandon Coleman's an offensive tackle from TCU. We know the Rams love their horned frogs. So, you know, it's just a matter of looking for guys at TCU. Yeah, that's their symbol. If you're looking at guys from TCU, I wouldn't be saddened by anybody that you drafted from that program, because you could potentially be getting the next Steve Avila type player. And then for defense, the list is a little bit shorter. But Chop Robinson, we know the Rams flew over, met with him in person. I freaking love Chop Robinson. I think he's going to be such a fun pro, especially if he's in the right system. Braylon Trice, an edge from Washington. We've mocked him a couple of times. I think he's a good day two pick if the Rams miss out on an edge early on. Brennan Jackson, day three pick from Washington State. Weight room warrior. I just gave him a little shout out on Twitter, just as a guy that we really, really like. Jalen Ford, inside linebacker for Texas, a guy that we've mocked. And considering the Rams have met with Jalen Ford, inside linebacker from Texas, you're probably thinking they met with Xavier Worthy. They met with Brian Murphy, the second, Byron Murphy. They met with A.D. Mitchell. So, like, all guys to kind of keep in mind if you don't get your top guy in the first round. Norrell Pollard, defense tackle from Virginia Tech. Steel Chambers, inside linebacker from Ohio State. Probably the best linebacker name of all time, Steel Chambers. A great, great football name. David Ogwebu, an edge from Houston. Malik Mustafa, safety from Wake Forest, kid I really, really like. Andrew Phillips, a defensive back from Kentucky. And then Mark Perry, a safety from TCU, another horned frog. But then there's also Ennis Rakestraw, who I couldn't find reports that they had met with him, but we mocked him in the past, and some people were in our comments like, Ennis Rakestraw, don't forget him. So as another guy that I just kind of want us to keep an eye on. So those are all the players so far that the Rams have reportedly met with. And Nick, you mentioned this. You know, it was only Kobe Turner and DeJuan Johnson, guys that were drafted, that they met with and drafted in 2023. So outside of that, the other piece of information that came out this morning. Brace yourself.
Which I alluded to earlier in the episode, because I couldn't help. It was like 2 minutes before we started recording, I got this ESPN notification about this. And I was like, oh, really?
Well, what's really frustrating is like the article is exclusively on ESPN Plus.
Right, like, I know. I'm not subscribed to it. I had to like find it.
Yeah. If you're a smart football fan, yeah, you're subscribed to The Athletic. You're looking at Dane Brugler's Big Board, the Beast, Jordan's articles. Like, they are far and away better than anything that ESPN has to offer. So ESPN Plus, Adam Schefter writes his first article in God knows how long. He comes out and says that Bo Nix, there's a relationship between Les Snead and Bo Nix's dad, Patrick Nix. So Les Snead was a graduate assistant coach in 1993, Nick, the year I was friggin' born, all the way back in Auburn, when the school's quarterback was Bo Nix's dad, Patrick Nix, and the team was 11-0. They were undefeated. They were really, really good. So Adam Schefter is trying to read between the tea leaves and see if Bo Nix is a potential fit for the Rams. But as Bo Nix enters the conversation, per the odds, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Raiders, Saints, Giants, Patriots, Seahawks, and Buccaneers all have better odds to draft Bo Nix over the Rams. That's all per BetMGM, so take it for what it is. But
we currently have three active quarterbacks on our roster, so that would put us at four. So then we would have to cut Jimmy G, who we just signed, or Stenson Bennett, Stenson would probably be cut, which I'm fine with.
The Rams have gone into seasons of Jared Goff and John Wolford, two quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Blake Bortles, two quarterbacks, Stafford and Brett Rippon. Like, they only keep two usually.
Except the year when they actually needed four and they kept three, Stafford, Wolford and Perkins. And then they had to pull Baker.
Yeah. 2022, the season that we all try to forget. If it weren't for Baker Mayfield, I would entirely write off that whole season. Yeah. But you're right. Like, that's the only other example.
Super Bowl win to down that horribly.
It's okay. We got the hardware. It happened in our stadium. The Aaron Donald statue will eventually be erected. It's all good. But no,
I think that season like 3-1 too. Like, it was hella weird.
Yeah, it was. And I think that's the only comparison you can make to potentially bringing in Bo Nix. It's like you have four quarterbacks. The fourth one was an extreme emergency in Baker Mayfield. Like, I just don't think that's ever going to happen. I'm not saying we're closer to the Rams' organization than insider Adam Schefter, but I think if you accurately read the tea leaves, then you're probably going to be closer to what you're getting out of this episode than what you got out of that article. So that's what we got for you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. I want to give a shout out to at Nick Pomeran 5761 on YouTube, who commented on how Dean and I are both studs and all Rams fans are like good looking guys. I'm paraphrasing, but I just wanted to make sure that a fellow Nick got his flowers for making me and Dean feel more confident in ourselves.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I feel like I'm Carson Wentz at 6 o'clock in the morning in the quarterback room trying to unscramble my brain every day. So I don't thank you for the compliment, but you know, we're a work in progress. I think you and I could both agree with that. So
HD Nick is a little scary. I miss low res Nick.
We were low res for too long of a time. We greatly appreciate you guys. Draft is in 4 days. We'll talk to you guys probably again on Friday and then probably again over the weekend. All still TBD. Had a really fun draft episode last year where we went through all the players. We were like, Puka's going to be great, which was, you know, a shot in the dark, but man, was he awesome this whole season. So excited to talk to you guys again. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, go Rams. And Nick, live it up in Hermosa Beach. Meet a lot of Rams fans, rep that Rams Brothers shirt, and tell the world our story.
Yes, hopefully my Thursday at work isn't too bad because it starts at 4. Like, it's it's kind of early. So, I mean, hopefully I get down there at 4. I doubt it, but we'll see.
Okay, sounds good. We'll keep you guys updated. Appreciate you, and go Rams.
Go Rams, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Peace.